Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Deja vu.
Anyway, and also joining us, special guest from the world's finest True Believers, we've got Chris.
Hey, everyone.
Chris, you are joining us today because we are reviewing the Lock and Key Netflix series, season one.
Hey, what's that show about?
<Such an asshole. laughs> Okay, cool. Yes, we'll just go ahead and give a quick premise of the show. Rendell Locke is murdered at the hands of former student Sam Lesser, so his wife Nina is forced to move with her three children, Tyler, Kinsey, and Bodhi, from Seattle to Matheson, Massachusetts, and take residence in Rendell's family home, the Key House. The children soon discover a number of mysterious keys throughout the house that can be used to unlock various doors in magical ways. However, they become aware of a demonic entity that is also searching for the keys for its own malevolent purposes. This show just came out Friday the 7th, right? Yeah, yeah. Friday, February 7th. It's just over a week out from its release, and we're doing a review on it.
So, spoiler alert, we're going to spoil things.
Yeah, we're spoiling mainly everything on the show.
Oh, wait a minute. I should have watched this beforehand? Oh, no.
I mean, it helps.
No, it's okay. We'll spoil it for you now. Then you can just go back and highlight.
Sweet.
And we are going to be spoilering?
We're going to spoilerize
some things from the book. We're going to try not to, but...
He's going to try not to. I'm definitely going to spoil shit.
Yeah, geez. Chris, as our guest, you want to go ahead and give your quick review or quick take on the show?
Yeah, I thought it's finally great seeing this come to, you know, after all the development hell it's been in all these years, whether it be film or different TV.
I think this was the third iteration that they made. They actually had one pilot that hit Fox I know I watched it. I don't think you guys got a chance to watch it.
No.
And then there was a pilot filmed for Hulu, but I don't know what happened to that.
So. Disney.
No, yeah. Yeah.
Let's not even get started on all these goddamn streaming services now.
That's a whole different episode.
Yeah. But no, I'm glad to see it. I think this is a proof of concept season. Things that they changed from the book, things that they made just for the show. I like some things, other things I've only gone through the first three books. So there are some things I like, some things that I missed from the books at that point. I did not want necessarily a panel to screen, but there are some things I would have thought would have been better if they had fleshed them out a little bit more in the show from the comic.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Like, it was good standalone. Like, if you don't think about the source material for it. But having read the comics and then having watched it, there are a lot of things that were a little lackluster. And like Chris said, there were a lot of things that I wish they would have, you know, fleshed out for us so we could have seen that actually would have helped with their story on some levels.
One, I agree with both of you. One major scene is the play that Rendell and his friends did it's in the book, it's the 80s, in the show, it's the 90s.
Yeah. And you know, we only get two panels that actually have the play itself in it.
Mm-hmm.
They've got so many of the keys and their powers that they're using at that point in time that it would have been like this nice little teaser for things yet to come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, instead of that picture of just the friends, it would have been the friends in this play, like it's portrayed in
exactly
an epic sequence.
That would have been amazing.
And I'd also like to say that Joe's part in it, the teacher.
Oh, Ridgway, yeah,
Joe Ridgway. I was a little disappointed in his part in the show as opposed to the part in the book, because in the book, I mean, he's only in there for what, one issue, right?
One issue total. Well, he's got a couple spots here and there.
Yeah, but I mean, like, where he's actually dedicated to him. Yeah, and you know what he does in that one issue, other than the memories, you know, of the play and of also of his wife, which I was also kind of sad that they cut out, because that would have been a great
Well, I understand why they cut it out, though.
Yeah, because especially they didn't for time. Yeah. But I was also a little upset with how he died in the show, as okay. opposed to how he died. Because, I mean, in the show, you know,
Luke,
yeah.
Suffocates him with a bag, yeah.
And it was, he didn't fight back or
anything. Well, he was fighting back, he just couldn't do anything. He's exactly. also like a 70-year-old man.
Dude, I don't give a shit. Hey, in the comic, what did he do? He broke a fucking mug over the dude's head.
Fair. Right?
And then got shot in the chest.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But he
was also buck-ass naked when he was doing it, too.
Exactly. Probably with a hard-on.
Okay,
he was drunk. He was drunk, thinking of his ex. Or his,
he wasn't drunk. He had, like, one drink.
Hey, he was thinking of his wife naked in the lake.
Okay.
When Luke walked in there. All right, I'm just saying.
Anyway, yeah, I agree with you guys. I
Lock and Key fan fiction brought to you by
Ron Haynes. Good job. I agree. The show is great. I've got a couple notes here I want to go over. First off, was we see a couple cameos. We see Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez, whatever.
It's not important, his name. He's just the person that drew everything and stuff. Whatever.
They are the EMTs. At the very end of the show, very end of the season one. And then we also have Tom Savini, who is the monster makeup guy for a lot of classic monster movies. And he's also the namesake of the Savini squad in the show. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. He was the hardware guy that gave Bodhi the keys.
Thank you. In like second episode, something like that.
Was it?
Yeah, it was early on.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember. You understand what we're talking about if you've seen it. If you haven't, spoiler alert.
I want to go over real quick the way Kinsey cooks bacon. After Kinsey takes out her fear, which we'll go into the fear monster here in a minute, she's in cooking breakfast for everybody. I was kind of offended the way she was cooking the bacon, because it was all in just one big pile and somehow was cooked.
Yeah, you know... It's
something dumb.
It's cinemagic.
I said of all the things you want to start with, you're worried about bacon.
I was offended by the bacon.
Okay, you know what I was offended by? Offended by the fact that they didn't have Luke's alter ego, Zach, in this one.
Okay.
Because he befriended the kids. You know, he befriends Tyler, and then, you know, he's with them as they're discovering the keys, so he knows what's going on. But in this one, they didn't have that. I mean, obviously they had an alternative. Well,
they had something, yes.
Yeah, but it just wasn't the same, and it didn't have the same, I don't know. Zach was a very important thing, because that also ties into, you know, like how Joe found out who it was, mm-hmm. as opposed to just randomly showing up at Ellie's house.
So, you jumped to that. Before we get to that, Chris, you want to add anything?
Yeah, it almost seems like... I completely agree. It would have brought in like how we found out more about the keys instead of just kind of happenstance by luck, Dodge getting the keys or hearing about the keys or knowing about them. But it almost seems like they're setting that up for next season with how it ended, you know, as being the friend. But I agree. I would have liked to have seen it a little bit more this season, because Zach is such a huge part of this series.
Well, and one thing I liked, and I mentioned this in when you and I covered the second volume, which just came out. If you guys are interested, go check out World's Finest True Believers. We covered the second. Well, we've covered volumes one and two on Chris's show. We've also covered one and two on our show here. We'll be doing three sometime soon.
Yeah,
actually, on both shows.
We do it about once a year, so that's about right.
We might move it up. We'll see. In the second volume, or our recording of it, I mentioned that, you know, we see Zach. We know who Zach is, that he is the villain from the get-go. So we know that the Locke family is kind of in trouble, you know, all the time, versus this, where, yeah, we're following along. We know Dodge is the bad guy in the show, and she's threatening. And then when they show Luke, it's like, okay, so now we see...
that he's a psychotic asshole.
Luke, yeah. And so we see that connection there. But then when we get the reveal of Gabe at the end... actually still being Dodge.
And we talked about this, like, we did. there was a, like when she first explains the which key was that?
He first found out about the music box. Music box key, yeah.
Okay. So he was like totally okay with this. And that right there tripped me off because I thought that he was working with Dodge because it reminded me of how Dodge in the comics just nonchalantly accepts that the head key can get into your head without being shocked or surprised.
See, and I didn't pick up on that. Rather, like I did, but it didn't register. What registered for me is when he, like I said, when we he was saying goodbye to Kinsey and starts biking, and then they start showing the flashbacks. Like immediately when they start showing the flashbacks, it clicked in my head. Oh shit, this is Dodge.
I mean, I knew at the end it's just like, okay, this is way too easy,
right? Yeah. Well, on that aspect, when Bodhi takes the matchstick key and uses it against the Shadow Lady. Mm-hmm. And then you see Dodge on the ground down on the first floor and Kinsey finds her. My first thought was, where's the Crown of Shadows?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, they even said something about it and they're like,
did they?
Yeah. They go, well, where's the crown? And they're like, it doesn't matter. You know, we've got, Dodge.
Okay.
Like they literally say, where's the crown? But my thing about it was I knew that it wasn't Dodge to begin with. Like as far as that went,
I figured that
because otherwise, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it just, totally. I totally understand what you're saying.
Thank you. But okay, well, I mean, it's just, she's laying there. She's laying there passed out. Okay. The shadows dissipated, air quotes.
Dissipated.
Yeah, shut up. You know, and then she's just laying there and the crown's gone. And you know, like I said, they even mention, you know, where's the crown? Mm-hmm. But then they don't think anything past that. But we know that Ellie's missing.
Well, no, we don't.
No.
We do know about them. No, we don't know about them.
He came in with the Crown of Shadows.
But you could have assumed that he just killed them. He didn't need those two anymore because he had the crown.
Well, fine then.
So we don't find out Ellie's missing until Bodhi goes over there and sees them missing.
But
by that time, they're already at the black door.
Yeah, but when you're watching it, you know it's not him sitting there.
That's not the point.
But it was for me.
Okay.
And I'm like, it's Ellie. But what threw me off was when Tyler goes to throw her through the door. And she wakes up. She doesn't even say, you know, it's not me or I'm not Dodge.
Well, she says, Tyler, no.
Yeah, but she says it with pissed off, angry face. She doesn't even look scared. She looks pissed. No, it does. You just recently watched it. The look on her face is,
Well, like a mixture of both, honestly. Both scared and pissed. Like, what the fuck's going on? And why are you doing this?
But see, that's the thing. If it would have, you know, if it would have been Ellie in that situation, she would have been utterly terrified because she's already been where that door's opened before.
But she didn't realize what was going on. When she got knocked out, she was still at home.
But regardless, but what I'm saying is, you know, like, how could they not have, you know, like, how could she have just, you know,
did nothing? And yeah, I gotcha. Yeah,
because she already knew that her face had changed.
Okay.
As we got from the flashbacks.
Yeah.
So she already knew something was up. So as soon as she woke up, the first thing she should have been thinking was, you know, I need to tell these guys what's going on.
It's like, oh no, it's me.
But as opposed, she's just like, Tyler, no. Okay.
And then, you know, throw him through the door. Okay. Chris, your thoughts?
It was interesting that also kind of talking about Ellie too, like no mom, the mom story is gone.
Oh, the grandma. Yeah.
I kind of like that because her mom was just like a complete asshole.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But it was important to understand why she was so tied into Luke.
And Rufus, the credit is Ellie's adopted son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As opposed to her actual child.
Yeah.
So, which means taking away the mom, the grandma aspect kind of works. Now you're correct on her the abuse that Ellie went through
with her mom was what made her
susceptible to Luke. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that was one thing that I didn't like, and I'm not saying loss and regret, everybody goes through their own version and it takes however long, but she goes back for 23, 24 years.
She's
I'm not gonna say fine.
But she doesn't even bother to go look at it. And then she goes back.
24 years later, I hit my breaking point. I think you've moved on.
That's when her toy broke.
Oh.
That was the breaking point she hit.
Ouch.
Speaking of toys,
that part bothered
me, though.
Really?
Okay, no, I was talking about Rufus's soldiers.
Okay.
Like,
which they...
I loved the Rufus in the comics.
Rufus was amazing in the comics.
Don't get me wrong. They didn't do a bad job with him in the show either. He was a lot older than I expected. And he wasn't as... in the comic show, he picked up on everything.
Yes.
And,
well, he still picks up because he even says to Ellie, it's like... referring to Dodge.
Yeah, he thinks I'm stupid.
He thinks I'm stupid, but I'm not stupid. And he grabs where Luke has been hiding the keys.
But that's the only time that we get it, you know? But then again, they also cut out a lot of Rufus in the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, like how the soldiers are talking for him or he's talking through the soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is the one who is realizing everything. The soldiers just happen to be what links him and Bodhi together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was cool that they did that in the show. I mean, it was Bodhi doing it. It was a little sad that it was only the one scene,
mm-hmm.
but all in all, I like the actor. And I think I told you this last night, Chris, everybody that they chose all acting wise, all the actors.
Oh, were fantastic.
Everybody was a great choice. Mm-hmm. The exception being Sam, only because I did not like Sam's story. Just in this show.
I wasn't particularly fond of the way that Sam looked either, if that makes any sense to you.
Well, okay, so the people who've read the books, yeah, he has a very unique look in the books.
He's kind of creepy, actually. And he's got that scrawny, like underfed abused, you know.
Definitely abused, yeah.
And they
showed it a little bit in the show.
But they show it, but he doesn't actually look it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the kid that played the part still looks hale and hearty.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the whole tattoo thing also threw me off a little bit.
Just the one tattoo?
Because I thought that he didn't get the tattoo until he was in the juvenile.
Well, he said he gave it to himself. He did give it in the book, he gave it to himself. He stated in the show that he gave it to himself. My guess is after Dodge got a hold of him, you know, he runs out of Rendell's office
after talking to her. Painting.
And maybe sometime after that, because obviously he had it before.
Yeah.
He killed Rendell.
But anyways, but
it was one of those things, like and I said this to you, Joe, last night, that it seemed he was almost forgotten about. And when they brought him in fully, it was almost like a rush to get to the point. I think they could have intermixed it kind of how they do in the comics every so often, checking in on Sam. Cause all of a sudden he just shows up.
Yeah.
You know, and I did like, we got, you know, a lot of the backstory outside of his family, but we make the assumptions that, you know, he's a troubled kid. He's got a troubled home, this, that, and the other. But his character deserved a little bit more than what he got.
A takeaway I saw on the internet, somebody was upset about how they handled Sam, which I agree, but they were more upset on the way Tyler's character was, because the whole Tyler's character in the books is based off of what he did to Sam, what he did to save his family,
mm-hmm.
and how he almost killed Sam after killing his dad. We don't get that in the show. In the show, we get Nina knocking Sam out and hitting him with a hammer. And Tyler he's there.
But he's locked outside.
He's locked outside.
That threw me off too. Like, I was like, that's not how it was supposed to happen.
So Tyler, I liked the actor they had. Connor Jessup, I believe his name is. I liked his portrayal. However, I didn't like the character in the beginning of the series, if that makes sense. Like, he just
the whole drinking and partying and,
well, it was more of there was just no motivation. Like, okay, yeah, you lost your dad, that sucks, coming from somebody who's lost a parent, I understand. But in the book, he had his losing his dad, and then just the trauma of everything. Like, that trauma goes with him throughout the series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, and, you know, like you were saying, at the beginning of the story, you know, I didn't like the fact that he was like, you know, he's back to Mr. Popular.
Almost immediately.
Yeah. Like, nothing ever happened. You know, he's going to parties. He's banging Dodge. He's
which is still weird.
It's so gross.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
Okay, this is something else I wanted to bring up.
Okay,
I was a little upset that Nina didn't have dark hair like she did in the comics, because then I couldn't make the correlation between, you know, Rendell having, you know, Luke change into a girl.
I don't.
And then his wife, because, dude, in the comics, they had a very similar look to
them. Correct. Yes.
And, like, but you know, I made the joke of, you know.
They did. I mean, yes, it's definitely a joke worthy, but I don't think they did that when they were kids.
Oh, yeah? You don't think?
I don't know. Who knows? We'll never get those stories, hopefully.
Dodge, I'm feeling a little lonely, buddy.
Jesus Christ.
You want to slap that key in your chin and give Daddy a happy new.
Anyway.
And okay. even her drinking was just like, oh, wait a minute. This is supposed to be a bigger part of who she is. And it was just like, oh, okay. Well, guess we're moving on from that.
Well, I did like how they brought it up. Like, she was an alcoholic for, I think they said, for some time, and then had 6 years where she was not. Like, she gave it up and was going to meetings sober for 6 years.
Okay, yeah, before the murder at that point. So it was because he makes a kind of a blind mention to it, Rendell, in the backup. You know, it's almost like she finds, like, her thing is fixing things or revamping things. That's her sobriety.
Well, yeah, and I mean, he gave her the coffee mug for the 1 year sobriety.
Yeah.
So we know that to her, that coffee mug's important. So when she falls off the wagon, which everybody's bound to do, it happens. It's what you do afterwards that defines you. I do find it, what I find interesting is that she, everything that had been going on, it took Sam coming back and almost killing them again for her to fall off the wagon, which makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. It just seemed like a too quick of a resolution for her to get back on.
Yes. But I also know, like I told you last night, Chris, this was just a way for her to find out about the medicine cabinet.
Oh, yeah.
And then show the kids so that they know about it.
Speaking of the medicine cabinet,
okay,
why in the seven hells did they hide the Omega key in there?
Last place you'd look.
But why would you hide it at all? Why would you not keep it on you? Because she can't take it from you. As opposed to leaving it somewhere where she could possibly theoretically find it.
But we're also talking about she physically can't take it from you. What could those shadows have done? The shadows could have killed them. And if they're dead,
true.
You know? All right, let's go ahead and move
also,
on.
Also, wait, I've got one more thing to say.
Okay, guess I'm not going to move on.
How does Dodge sense the keys?
What do you mean?
Hmm.
She knew that... She always knows when somebody's got a key. Every time that somebody had a key, whether they said they had it or not, she knew. When Ellie tried to lie to her about having the key, saying she was just coming to get the crown.
I think she knew because he had looked in the bag and it was missing.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure, but that's what I'm thinking.
Because it always seems like whenever somebody's got a key, she can almost sniff it out. And my theory on that is the little things that shoot through.
The Whispering Iron.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't know if that's what they're going to call in the show, but that's what it's called in the book.
But that's what stuck in her, right?
Yeah.
That made Dodge. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, does that call, is it like, you know, lodestone type thing where it calls to itself where it knows? Because she has some kind of uncanny sense to knowing the keys as soon as they're found.
Okay. I'll say, because if that was the case, she would have just, and I mean, actually, it's actually in one of my notes. She would have just went to where they all were and just grabbed them all, bringing up once they're found, maybe.
Well, because, like, I mean, just like pay attention. Like, if you ever watch it again, I'm sure you will, because that's what
at
you
some
do.
Point. I've already watched it three times. So,
yeah. But, like, when somebody has a key, she's all like, and then she knows it's there.
I don't know. You have any thoughts on that, Chris?
Yeah, I'll have to watch it again to kind of pay attention for that. You know, it was, you know, the one of those things that I just thought she had a good BS detector outside of the, you know, the kids when she came to, you know, trying to find the fire key or what are we calling it?
The matchstick key.
And it just throws that into you. I want to show you something. I'm going to throw you into here and toss a card to you. And that was cool. That took me by surprise and saying, oh, okay, well, you could just scare the kid.
And that's one of those things where, okay, she's threatening a little bit to some, like you could see her being malevolent. Like she doesn't care who you are. She wants these keys, takes this kid, kills him. She kills some random guy she's whatever with just cause. But then when it comes to the locks themselves, nothing.
Yeah.
Versus in the books, and I think Chris said you've read up to the third volume.
Yep.
And so you saw, I think in that one is when they've got the 1 month of like they're just going through February and Dodge is attacking them left and right. And almost killing them constantly. Having the aspect of Dodge cannot take the keys from them without them giving it up. I liked that aspect. Like that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have one more, just something that's kind of bothered me a little bit.
Go ahead.
Was Dodge super strong in the comics?
Hmm.
Because I don't remember, demon. But I don't remember it ever having like super strength, like when it was, you know, like when they were fighting or when like, you know, things were happening. I don't ever remember him being able to just like overpower everybody because he's.
Yeah, it's funny. Nick, who we usually record with, I was talking to him about that. He said the exact same thing. He asked the exact same thing. My thought was when you're going to have sexy time, being choked out like that wasn't. But that's not even it.
Like, as soon as she started squeezing a little harder, that kid should have been like, boom, you know.
Well, he tries to lift up the one arm, she holds that one down, and then the other one is just like flopping, apparently.
Exactly. How did she get so strong?
I don't know. I'm gonna go with demon aspect.
Okay,
we'll go with that. I want to.
It's all that testosterone flowing around in there.
Maybe. I want to talk about the new keys that we see. So we see the.
The mirror key.
The new mirror key.
I didn't like it particularly.
It was interesting.
I mean, I'm sure that was, you know, foreshadowing as to how they're going to actually, you know, get rid of the demon. And
ooh, you think so?
Possibly.
I mean, she basically said it. We saw some skeletons of how people she got rid of.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it was her because there was a, what's the old like British hat, like the tri-corner hat.
Oh, you're right.
Fair enough.
So it was. So that key is, you know, 17th century, 18th century, whatever, however old it was.
17th, I would assume.
It was 17th.
Well,
it could make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But
that's an interesting concept, only because they do mention that. So in the book, the way
go for it. Just go for it. Go
sure.
For it.
Okay. Yep, fine. Go for it. The way that Dodge says in the book to get rid of an echo is to get them through, take them back through the well house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So an echo cannot pass the door without dying. We saw that in the last issue, the Ellie centric issue, when she was talking. No, hold on. Sorry. That's later on.
But Ellie says it in the TV show. That the echo can't go through the door. If it goes through the door, it'll, you know,
No, she doesn't. If she does, I totally miss it.
Oh, I'm pretty sure she did, because that was why she had the key.
Either that or Dodge or, you know, the echo itself just says it.
The last time I was watching the series, I was at work just to have something on, pass the time. So I was paying attention, but I still had to do my job. I don't know. So if they did say it, it didn't jump out to me. That being said,
it didn't jump out to the kids either, because they didn't try throwing her through the well house door.
Well,
which would have been a lot easier.
No, you're right. They do say, Ellie does say something about that, getting her back into the well house, and that could hold her.
Yeah.
As long as she doesn't have the anywhere key.
But they didn't even check her for keys.
That's the other thing. They should have done that. Okay, sorry. We're good. Okay. We got some notes. I still
Tyler's like, don't worry. I know everything that's supposed to be where it's supposed to be. I'll check her for keys.
I know every inch of her.
yeah, he does. We also get the identity key, which is the old mirror key
and the
gender key combined. Which this one you use, you could turn into whatever you want, yeah. Whomever you want, however you want to look.
Yeah. Don't be wrong. That'd be kind of cool.
It'd be pretty cool. I'd definitely be skinnier. we also get what they call the plant key.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is the key that Kinsey and Tyler find in the graveyard
that hid
Duncan's memories. It's also the key that Kinsey and Scott use when they're making their film. That one little scene where Kinsey gets attacked by a plant, that they use the plant key with that. We also get the matchstick key, which is literally just starts fires.
Which I didn't like the fact that you didn't have to, like, you know,
turn it.
Yeah, you didn't have to put it into anything. Like, they were literally touching the fire end, like the end of the key that you would hold, not the end, not even the end that you would plug into things.
Yeah.
But the end that you would hold was the part that was igniting things on fire.
No. It was the key parts, like the part you put in was what started the fire.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because Bodhi had it tied to the...
Yeah, he had it like with the
I thought the fire part was sticking out.
No, teeth out. Well, when Mark Cho at the beginning has it, he's holding it, grabs it, stabs it.
Yeah. And see, he had to stab it into his chest to turn it to...
Which
is makes sense because it's a key.
Yes. Speaking of stabbing things into it, what do you guys think?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Tyler and Dodge again.
No, stop that. We're done with that. What do you guys... So Ellie says that, you know, that little teardrop scar that her and Rendell had.
Oh, you mean the keyhole?
Thank you. What kind of key you guys think they made? Obviously, it's a memory key or some sort, but...
The one that kept them able to know that the key still worked as adults?
I mean, do you think it's key? I mean, I'm pretty sure it's key.
Yeah.
It's got to be so, because they're the only ones that... They're the ones that remember.
Yeah.
Them, Mark, what's the other one? Aaron. Those four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look at... I mean, they even said, like, they took Duncan's memories out.
Yes.
And talk about, like, man, they really undersold his character in this season.
Yeah. Well, and I'm hoping, especially having a good actor like Aaron Ashmore,
Bobby Drake?
Yep. having him sign on. I'm hoping he gets more time in the second season. But bringing up Duncan and his memories... Did you guys notice that after Kinsey showed him all of his memories, then he had like he saw it, got really confused, really scared. The very next day is when he was like sick and like his mind was still trying to process everything.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, really cool.
I also would like to say I loved how everybody stored their memories differently.
Yes.
That was really cool with how they did the head key.
Oh, absolutely. Well, like, you know, the mall, the arcade, and then you had like the VHS cases.
For Aaron's.
Yep. And then Kinsey had the candy drawers. And what the hell were Bodhi's in?
Jack of the Boxes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Creepy, but okay.
I already mentioned it with Duncan, the adult's reaction to the magic, to the keys, like with Nina, like she saw the mirror, obviously went into the mirror, and then immediately when she was done, we see her
like nothing happened.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, the mirror just needs polish, we'll take care of it. Perfect example is when Dodge comes in and kills Sam. And then the very next day, Nina, who by this point is drunk, but associates it with Tyler killing Sam.
Yeah.
And so it's basically the mind trying to make sense of this, which works.
Except for then, you know, they said that when she's drunk, she can remember the magic's real.
Yes.
Because her mind's all altered.
Exactly.
Because her mind's all childish and shit. Oh.
Okay.
Well, even speaking of Nina, I did like that they dropped the rape.
Yes.
That worked, and I think it's completely unnecessary for this show.
Agreed.
I like that she, I mean, Yes, to take out the rape. She got shot, which definitely gives her trauma. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I still wish it would have been Tyler that took out Sam and not her. Not that she didn't have to, but I wish it was Tyler that took her out took Sam out instead of Nina.
Well, it would have brought more to, you know, when he starts wailing on the it would have meant more outside of just his anger of him not being able to get through there. I mean, he kicked the crud out of Sam to the point of almost killing him, as we said.
I mean, we do have the, you know, him saying to Sam when they were back in Seattle, like, if you kill your dad, kill my dad. And that was, I guess, motivation for him for being upset, which, yeah, definitely, because he does feel like it was his fault, which adds to why he is all emo-ish in the book. But it just did not play well in the movie or in the show. That's just my opinion. Let's see. We talked about Sam's story being lackluster. Came in way too late.
Yep.
Let's see. I know I mentioned in the last one, but did I mention Dodge not being threatening?
Yes. Wait, yes. Did we this time
again,
around?
This is.
I think you kind of hinted towards it when I was bringing up just her when she was house of carding the kid.
Yeah. Dodge did not feel threatening. When Luke came around, he had a threatening presence. So I'm like, okay, cool. Now we're getting something. But also, when we see Gabe, who is obviously Dodge, if you're listening this far in and you did not see the show, that's on you.
Amen.
Too bad. The big revelation is we find out Gabe is actually Dodge. That just goes to show that Dodge has been
Finkel is Einhorn.
And
how do you think Tyler feels like after he finds out who Dodge is? Do you think he has the Ace Ventura moment where he like burns his clothes and gets in the shower? And
I think he's definitely gonna be keeping that one a secret forever.
Hey, remember, he's the only one that goes into his head. He won't let anyone else
right?
in. Could you just imagine him like walking up there and be like, "You just remember, I've had my dick in you," and then you know, like,
yeah. So having Gabe be revealed that he's Dodge just goes to show how manipulative and how smart, how like many steps ahead of everybody he is, which we saw that in the books up until like there were some factors in the books that he didn't count on, like Rufus or Sam not helping him like he wanted
or
to.
Joe,
which, okay, thank you for bringing Joe back up. I just want to touch on this real quickly. When they give the reveal that Joe took pictures of them,
the hell was he doing over at Ellie's house in the first place?
I think he was investigating Ellie, because at that point, Nina was talking to him.
Oh, told him that, yeah.
Ellie was acting strange. What kind of person will go up and take a picture of somebody, and then as soon as they see him, just kind of give like a look around and walk away? Every time I watched that, every time I saw that, have you guys seen Kate and Leopold? The movie from like early 2000s.
No.
The only thing I know, isn't that with Hugh Jackman?
Yes.
I think that's the only thing I know about that movie.
Hugh Jackman, I believe Meg Ryan. I can't remember who the female lead was. But Liev Schreiber is in that film. And it's a time travel thing because Hugh Jackman is...
So wait.
Hold on.
You're
but let me finish.
That Wolverine and Sabretooth are in this?
Yes.
Okay.
Hugh Jackman.
Don't get excited. It's not that good.
It really wasn't. He's from the past. Liev Schreiber somehow is able to go into the past, and he is there taking pictures of proving that he was in the past. Well, when Leopold, Jackman's character, sees him, and Schreiber is just like, "Oh no, I'm being sought out." So he kind of like does a quick little turnaround and then like turns to walk away and takes a couple more pictures as he's walking away. I thought of that when I saw Joe doing this to Ellie and Luke. It's so out of place. It's so like, you just got caught. What are you doing?
Yeah. Hey. Okay. But look, in all seriousness, you said he's, you know what, 70 years old, right?
Sure.
Give or take. Okay. My boss at work.
You've told me this. Yeah.
He's 70 almost. And he will be sitting there and he'll like walk around the corner, like spy on you.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you look at him, he'll stare up at the ceiling and then like look back and forth and then turn around and walk away like he wasn't doing anything. And he does it all the damn time.
That's
awesome. He'll sneak around corners and he'll like look around the corner, or he'll like walk up to like just random things that are sitting around and pretend he's looking at it so he can pay attention to what you're doing. Yep. So maybe it's just an old person thing.
Maybe.
And like, maybe they actually got an old person's take on this. Like, what would you do? And they're like, I'd probably just look around like I wasn't doing anything and then walk away.
All I'm hearing in my head right now is that cartoon. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. Yep. Okay, I have a couple more things before I start asking a couple questions to you guys.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
I did not prepare for this test.
Oh, you'll be fine. Because it's all opinion-based.
Yes.
There
are no right or wrong answers.
So, except for yours. Yours are always right.
Correct.
Thank you.
No, he's talking to me.
He's talking to me.
Whatever.
You're asking questions. We're answering.
Okay, so they show Nina going through the yearbook. Rendell's yearbook from 95. Either the class of 95, or the yearbook in general, doesn't know the alphabet. So either they don't know how to put people in alphabetic order, because I think Rendell Locke and Aaron Voss were next to each other in the yearbook.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. Or there was only 8 people
in their entire class,
and they did not invite that 8th person to do anything. Yeah, because she flips through the pages, and then they show the 2 pages with him and all of his friends, and they're all on those 4 pages. And then they start showing all of the Omega symbols going everywhere. I just thought that was hilarious, because like,
and where is the acronym HAGS? Come on, it's the 90s. You know that was everywhere,
right? Okay, then last kind of a question: what kind of person leaves their laptop unattended anywhere? Because, you know, when they show Dodge trying to find out where Mark Cho's at, she's on this laptop eating this guy.
And then the dude walks over and he's like, hey, that's my computer.
Yeah, like, I don't care what kind of city you're in. You're not, this is 2020. You're not leaving your laptop unattended anywhere.
I don't know. I supervised a basketball game this past Friday night, and I still have students that leave their phones. And we're talking about a thing that I assume is attached to them, like their heart, and somehow someone left their cell phone. So
okay, wow. The teenagers at that. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
This was a grown man who. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe he was in a restaurant that he frequents and everybody knows him there, because it looked like a little coffee shop or whatever. And maybe he just had to like walk over to the counter to get like, you know, a drink. You know, like he was waiting on the coffee or something. And like, you know, while he was waiting on the coffee, he just happened to look over, and this bitch is on his computer. You know, fucking.
Well, long enough to get to Google, search up where Mark Cho is, and look at
especially the way that she was using the computer. Yeah, it took forever.
Yeah,
which I am glad that they made her, you know, like have problems getting the computer to work and stuff, because you know, she would have had no idea.
Yes.
Oh, she could have done a callback like Scotty talking to the mouse.
Oh yeah.
Just saying computer.
Oh wow, I totally forgot about that. Star Trek, what was it? 5?
4.
Yeah.
4. Yeah.
It's movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, search for whales.
Search for whales.
That's what it's called. Look, that came out. That, what was that? 80s, 90s? That's an old one.
Yeah.
Okay. So as we kind of come to the end here, overall, like I myself, I'm kind of giving a rating of like 7.5 out of 10. Like there were some things I liked, a lot of things I didn't like. Dodge not being threatening was big for me. Sam not being
important
was big for me. So that's, I'm not saying you guys have to give it like an actual rating, but that's kind of why I have it lower. Like, it's still good. And I think actually 7.5 is the average that IMDb is giving it. So, like, and overall, I'm seeing a lot of people liking it. I've seen some hate on it, but
well, there's always going to be somebody hating on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody hates things on the internet.
You're going to give your
personal, you know, like I said, as a standalone, I'd have probably given it like an 8 or a 9, because it was actually a really good show. It was enjoying to watch.
Okay.
As based on a comic, yeah, it's probably more like a 6.5 to a 7. Just for the fact that they left a lot of what I think of as important things on the wayside, and then they altered the story enough to where it doesn't even follow the same general storyline that the comics do.
Okay.
Which is something that has always annoyed me when they make when they make the media jump from like books to TV or from books to movies.
Well, that's why they always have to say adaptation, because
and that's understandable. But I mean, you know, like and I mean, you know, when we're talking about, you know, obviously like, you know, movie or comics going to movies, there's always a change.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, they usually keep the storyline fairly enough to where they can use the base material for the story going on.
Okay.
This was more like how they did with Game of Thrones, where it just kind of veered off all the way into left field and left
us. Well, it was pretty close up until, season 5?
Yeah, I quit watching at 3. I just wanted to see Joffrey die.
Chris.
Yeah, I'm at a 7.
Okay.
You know, kind of like I like what you said, Ron, where it was, if it was a standalone, it'd be higher. I was more, you know, in the first couple of episodes, they're throwing a lot out there from the first 3 volumes. It's like, whoa, we'll slow down there.
It did have me a little scared, because if they're showing that much in just this season alone, what are they going to have left for next 1 to 2 seasons?
And that's what I was saying with how they can't pull from the source material because they've so warped it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are 3 more books and, you know, other things that, you know, they may be hinting towards at that point, but it seemed like, and this is not a criticism it's kind of a criticism, but it's almost like it's taken this long for the series to come to air.
Yeah.
That it's almost like we need to hit with our heavy hitters first to hook them, which, you know, makes sense, but I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to, I mean, I know they're already writing it. It has not been greenlit, but they are writing it like it will be greenlit.
Yeah, Netflix allegedly likes to wait 30 days, get those numbers in before they announce a continuation or another season. So we will kind of find out like the beginning of March.
Did you hear that they're head of production on Witcher? Off subject, but
I still have to watch Witcher, so no.
What?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
It's great. You'll love it. Lots of titties.
So I've got
Jesus. There you go. There's the pitch, yep. At that point. You know, that when it comes out on Blu-ray and DVD, that's the line on the back of the case.
It's gonna say no, it's gonna say hmm, then it's gonna say fuck, and then it's gonna say lots of titties.
Okay. So I've got a double list here of a few things, and again, opinions for you guys. Things I want to see in season 2. I'm going to go through my list. You guys can add on as you see fit. I would like to see more Chamberlain Locke. Yes. Seeing him was pretty awesome.
And you know, I was kind of sad that they didn't actually go back to him after that first visit.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if, since Sam died and turned into a ghost, if he's going to go, you know, like,
we're going to see the ghost keep coming more in play in season 2, because they still have it.
Yeah.
I would like to know how Erin got stuck in her own head.
If it was something that somebody had done to her, or she had done it to herself.
I'm thinking something she did to herself, because when Dodd shows up and she opens up the door, first time she shows up, she's like, what happened to you? Which threw me, because for whatever reason, I might be confusing this with the book. Spoilers, Chris. I thought she did it to him. To her,
yeah,
because she does in the book, but she didn't. And then when she opens up her head and is like, where's the other you? Like, oh, yeah, okay. See what else here. How the keys ended up in the house where they were at,
because Mark hit them, it said that,
yes, but not all the keys. Erin had the head key. How did that end up in the vacuum?
I thought that I thought that they ended up handing all the keys except for
You're
right, because
they handed like 2 to each person, and Mark got the rest of them.
That's right,
and he hid them all. Erin had the head key, and what was the other one? She had another key. Then Rendell had the Omega and Anywhere.
Yep,
and so we know what happened with those. She might have had the music key. I can't remember. But
obviously at some point in time, Rendell went and got the head key from her, because he put the Omega key
in
his own head.
Bahavi like said that 20 years ago, there was some at the very second episode. Javi, Tyler's friend, says some girl went in there and came out psychotic, and now she's in a loony bin.
Yeah,
referring to Aaron.
Yep.
So that was, and if my timeline is correct, that was 5 years after the events of them killing Dodge.
Which
Dodge
is killing, okay, well, there you go. That. That's how they got the head key. Then she would have left it in there when she went crazy.
I still want to see how.
No, yeah, and understand. And yeah, we definitely need some backstory. And I would honestly like to see more of Rendell and Luke and those people with the keys and, you know.
Well, and that's actually leads into my next thing, more keys.
Yes, more keys.
And definitely go out there and start creating keys that they haven't, we haven't seen yet.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Like, I mean, as Hill said, he can create a key for anything.
Yeah.
Well, I think it. In the book,
well, and they're Dodge, gonna make a key because they have the slag iron that came out,
but they don't know how to make it. In the books, Duncan is the one that makes them, and then Tyler learns. I also know that in the books, Dodge mentions to Bodhi, like in the beginning, that there are like hundreds of keys, and you know the books itself only focus on maybe 20,
yeah,
and we've seen 12 so far. So, I mean, we could definitely get more. So, I would like to see that.
I want to see some random-ass shit keys.
Okay.
Well, because you think about it, he said there's hundreds of keys, right?
Yeah.
So, you can't tell me each one of them was like this fantastic, magical thing. Like,
well, in the book, they got a teddy bear key that attacks people. Like, there was an owl key that I can't remember exactly what it was called. But, like, there's definitely going to be random keys.
I want to see a key that turns you into, like, a fucking, like, werewolf type of shit or something.
That's the animal key.
And we didn't get to see the giant key yet either. I'm kind of sad with that.
Again, I'm sure we're going to see some more, hopefully. Before I get into these last two, are there any thoughts, Chris, that you would like to see? Anything you'd like to see in season two?
This is obviously still not having read the last three books. More about the history of the keys.
Yes.
The history behind them. However, I mean, it may not be next season. It would be, you know, I want to see that history.
Yes, yeah. And I feel like that'll be when they start talking to their
Chamberlain.
Yeah. Chamberlain.
Yep.
That like we should be able to get some backstory for the keys from that.
Yeah.
And maybe some redemption for Sam now that he's a ghost and bring that character a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
I definitely see him coming back.
Maybe on the good side of things.
Maybe.
Oh, geez. I mean, that third book, he's pretty, I'm done with you. he is done with,
yeah, you get to the fourth book. Anything. We'll, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway,
Ron, you have anything you want to,
you know, honestly, other than what we've,
about, I should say.
Yeah. Other than what we've actually covered, I would definitely like to see them, I'm curious as to what they're going to do with the story.
Okay.
And I'm curious as how Ellie's going to come back.
I'm wondering if they're going to go get her.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I'm wondering is like, if they're like, cause I mean, it's almost like they threw her into an abyss.
Yeah.
But obviously things can come back out of there.
Oh yeah. And I hope they bring back Rufus.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
He needs to come back.
Yeah, he was awesome. Oh, I also like, Logan, the it was paraplegic. Kyrie.
Oh yeah. The guy with the kid with no legs.
Yeah. I want to ask. So, and this is not actually going back a couple steps and this is not actually my last two questions, but that store clerk who knew who Locke or Tyler Locke was, but didn't know this kid who has got both legs amputated off, realized that he's not 22 years old from his fake ID.
He was wearing a fucking letter jacket, wasn't he? A high school letter jacket?
No, the Javi and Brinker were.
Oh, that's right.
But just the fact that this guy, I'm not, and especially being a small town, they proved it was a small town. You know everybody.
Yeah.
You would know this guy is not 21 years old or 22, as his driver's license said. But, I mean, that's just whatever. That's just small little tiny little gripe. Okay, so my last two things I want to see in season two, will we actually find out which is better, Bills or Phils? and will Gustav get a better magic routine? Gustav was the magician at the hospital. He's when Dodge went to go visit Aaron.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I was very offended when he was talking about how nobody uses coins anymore. Motherfucker, I use coins every day at the vending machines. So, couple little jokes there. Sorry.
And you really want bacon to be made properly.
I want bacon to be made properly. I was very offended.
More importantly, he wants to know how he can just throw bacon in the frying pan and not have to work at it to make it work.
Dude, every time I like crispy bacon, and every time I make bacon, it's never crispy.
See, I like mine.
If it's not crispy, it's burnt.
Oh, see, I like mine chewy, like just before it gets to that actually crispy point.
I like crispy.
Like, I don't like it like limp. I like it like where it's almost like jerky type of consistency.
Okay.
And thank you for joining us on Bacon Talk.
Well, as we end
this could you say that in your sexy voice again?
as we end this Bacon Talk.
I call it my NPR voice.
Chris, thank you for joining us. And could you let everybody know where they can get a hold of you?
Yes, you can get a hold of me on Twitter. I'm at Chris Balga. And again, my show is World's Finest True Believers. You can follow that at Finest Believers on Twitter and email the show, worldsfinesttruebelievers@gmail.com.
Yeah, great show. I've been on a couple times. I love coming on it. I know I'm sure after seeing all this, we're going to be talking about Lock and Key of Volume 3 sometime in the near future. And I'm totally up for that. So, as we wrap up, so thank you guys for coming on here. And
this was a blast.
Definitely would like to do a lot more of these. I'm still throwing around the idea of a new podcast for comic book movies, shows.
Well, we could just do this like every now and then and just, throw it into the comic book rundown and just have it as the, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's a special. Like, this is going to come out tomorrow, I think.
Enjoy editing tonight.
Yeah. yeah, well, we got to go see Sonic in, like, 45 minutes. So I actually got to get out of here. So thank you guys for coming on, and we will talk to you next time.
Have a good one.
Talk to you later.